Are you gonna give a good day to all the Canadians out there?
I will, but before we do, give us a little test. What's your give us some intonations? Give us some voice exercises before we start. What do you got for us?
Ooh. I kind of lose it when it gets above a C.
Above a C.
Is that a musical note? E sharp? Is there sure an E sharp?
It's a C flat.
Okay. All right, well, welcome, everyone, to episode 4 of the Two Hoser Show. Once again, we are back. This time, the episode will include tidbits on shutter speed. So the title of this episode is Shutter Speed. And we'll start off by just reintroducing ourselves. So today, I am going to start off or lead off by introducing myself, and I'm Adam Schwartz, the amateur photo enthusiast, and with me is...
It's Alan Attridge from calling from Tubingen, Germany.
Nice.
You sound like a speaking spell today, Adam.
I'm going to try to use lots of voice fluctuation and intonation today. So I don't know if those are two different things or the same thing, but I'm going to try them both.
I've decided I'm going to step up my radio voice and really sell it. Hey, it's 919 in the Steel City. Traffic out there on the 14.
Well, I just wanted to start off by reminding everybody about where they can find us and our webpage and where they can find the episodes of this podcast, which is twohosers.com, and everything on there pertaining to the podcast is easily visible. And also like to remind everybody where to find Al and your work, which is at alanattridge.com. And my work can be found on my wife's blog, where I included all the pictures. My most recent work is on there at the Schwartz Chronicles, schwartzchronicles.com. So there was another bit of news that Al's been working pretty hard to get our stuff up on iTunes. And how has that been going? I think there was an update there.
We've officially been accepted by iTunes, which means you can search for us in iTunes. We have our own iTunes page. The picture isn't up. This has been driving driving me crazy all week because I think I'm doing everything right with the feed, and I've been told that generally the picture takes a couple weeks to show up in iTunes. But rest assured that the Two Hosers, that's us. And once we get the word out, more people who rate our show. You can rate the shows like from like 1 to 5 or 0, I suppose, which is what we have so far. But you can add a star rating and comment on the show, which if you do listen to the show, we ask you to check us out on iTunes and give us a ranking. That'll get us up, and eventually we like to get up on the feature page, on the main page that iTunes will advertise for us. So check us out at iTunes. You search for us in there, I think under Two Hosers or under Photography. Make sure all the tags work. But yeah, so we're on iTunes now. That's it. Legit.
And also on Twitter as well, although I've never Twittered or tweeted. Still haven't decided what the appropriate term is, but we have that. And have you tweeted? Or Twitter?
I've done some research, and it turns out that your wife is right. People are calling it tweeted.
Okay. Tweeting. Okay. All right. I will use tweet from now on.
Yep. And I still... Well, I was saying Twitter as well, except for I really didn't know any better. But now that I do, I don't want to be an ironic hipster who purposely gets it wrong because he's too cool for school.
But maybe we're the outcasts for not knowing.
No question, I'm an outcast. So, but I actually have tweeted a few things. Started following some people. Some people are prolific tweeters. Others not so much. So, anyways, yeah. So you can follow us on Twitter. We're Two Hosers at Twitter. Which I've got to tell you, I'm surprised that we got all the names across the board. We got the Two Hosers Photo Show. We got twohosers.com. We got Two Hosers on the Twitter.
Nobody jumped in there.
No one was squatting and trying to extract large amounts of money from us
I'm sure at some point there will be a lawsuit, so just enjoy it while it lasts.
Yes, I'm sure the one hoser is going to be calling us saying he's looking to expand. But anyway, so you can also, if you need to subscribe to us via the RSS feed, which if you have to ask what that is, then you don't want to subscribe to us that way. But that's for your, I guess on your PC, you don't have to use iTunes if you don't want. You can use the RSS. You can download it to your Zune.
Sure.
Never seen one.
Nope.
But they exist. So you can download us to there via the RSS feed. It's all happening. So I'm not saying that joke I wrote now, because it seemed to go quicker than I thought.
All right. Okay. So just let's maybe do a quick recap, if you wouldn't mind, regarding what we did on the last episode. I believe the Aperture episode. Could you just give us a sort of a quick summary about what happened last time, or what we discussed?
We talked about in the second part of the exposure triangle, which we'll get to more of later. We talked about what aperture is, and aperture, in short, is the size of the hole that lets light in. Now, something I forgot to address actually last episode was this, when I talked about the size of the hole, the aperture has very little, almost nothing, to do with the zoom feature on your camera. So when I say wide open, when we open up the camera wide, we're not talking about zooming out. I'm talking about the hole of that allows the light in.
Yep.
So you can adjust that. You can make it smaller or larger depending on how much light you want to come in at once. That's what we learned, what aperture is. That's what aperture does. And in order to control that, we set the camera in what we call AV mode, or aperture priority mode, which allows us to dial that in specifically, so we can decide which aperture we want. And therefore the camera will then take that into consideration and adjust all the corresponding settings in relation to that.
Great.
I feel like I started out really, really simple and then got technical at the end there.
Yeah, you lost me. My mind was wandering for that last bit, but anyways, I just wanted to let everybody know that this episode, I'm going to be asking you a few more of the questions instead of the reverse, because there was a great backlash from our listeners suggesting that maybe there wasn't enough Adam. So we're trying to up the Adam factor, because all the Adam, whatever I'll call my fans, I don't know what the appropriate term is yet, but apparently there was a big, big call for more Adam and potentially a little bit more of a interview of Al, because it seems like you've been really doing the bulk of the question asking, and really you're asking an amateur, and I think that a lot of our listeners would like to hear from the professional. So, you know, you being the professional, would like to potentially pick your brain about some of these points that I think you're very well spoken about. So today, when we're going to talk about shutter speed, I'm going to ask just a few questions that I think will hopefully be the type of questions that our listeners, being primarily amateur photographers, would like to know. I guess my first question is just to very, very simply, could you explain what the shutter on our camera is? So before we get to shutter speed, I just want to know what the shutter is.
Let me step back one step though, and wanted to add one more thing to aperture.
Sure.
Some people say, "Hey, Alan, what f-stop do you recommend?" And I tell them, "Well,
would you like me to ask you that question?"
No.
We call that leading the witness.
Well, I'm going to answer my own question then.
Okay.
I'm going to be that guy who interviews himself. Do I think I could have done better on that? Yeah. Is it going to affect me? Probably not. Going to sleep okay tonight. So what f-stop? I actually do get people asking me that. Hey, well, you know what f-stop should I be at? And obviously that's a loaded question, and there's a long answer, but there's a short answer to that too.
What's the short answer?
There's two short answers. The first short answer is f4.
Great. Why?
I shoot at f4. F4, depending, there's a whole lot of other variables involved, but that's where I start. When I'm going to start making a photograph, a controlled photograph, I start at f4 and work up or down. Because if I have a lens that goes to all the way open to f1.4, I have a lot of room from 4 down to there. I have a lot of room from 4 up to f16.
Okay.
And f4 kind of gives a good depth of field. A nice, you're going to get blur. Like the background will go out, drift out of focus, but you're still going to get a sharp image on your subject.
Okay.
So that's where I start. That's my starting point. I start at f4 and will either work up or down. Now the second answer, and this one goes to a little... I think there was back a few years ago, there used to be these things called magazines.
Yeah.
Before the internet killed them.
Yep.
And there was one called National Geographic. And their motto, have I ever told you what their motto is?
No.
Their motto is F8 and be there.
Okay, yeah, I have heard that.
And that's essentially what they're saying is people ask them all the time, hey, this is true. They ask them, how do I make a good picture? Or what makes a good picture? And they always give the answer, the joking answer, shoot it at f8 and make sure you're there. So f8 and be there. So f8 is great because it's going to give you a good middle-of-the-road picture every time. You're not going to misfocus. You're going to get a decent enough background blur in a pinch. So if it's an uncontrolled situation where it's, let's say your kid's playing hockey or soccer or something, or baseball, whatever it is, generally outside, I would start at an 8 and work from there.
Okay. So, all right.
Wasn't as short an answer as I anticipated.
Or as simple.
Yeah. Well, start with 4. If you can, I mean, your lens might not go to 4, but start at 4.
Okay.
So,
all right.
There you go.
So is it okay if I ask the next question?
Yes, okay. I'm prepared.
So my next question is, being this an episode about shutter speed, I want to know what the shutter is exactly on my camera.
Well, if you're shooting with a digital SLR, first of all, any idea what DSLR stands for?
It stands for digital SLR. No, yeah. No idea is the actual answer I have for you.
It's called the SLR is single lens reflex, and what that denotes is that you got the one lens. That part's easy, but essentially what you've got going on inside your camera is a mirror, a little mirror at a 45 degree angle, so that when you look through the eyepiece, there's a small mirror that on that right at the top. That reflects down 45 degrees. Down there is another mirror that reflects at 45 degrees, which basically allows you to see out through the lens.
Okay.
So if you notice your camera and you look through the eyepiece and the lens, it's like a periscope in a submarine. You're not looking straight through. It's being reflected.
Yeah.
So what has to happen is every time you take a picture, that mirror flips up to allow the light to come in to the sensor instead of up to the eyepiece.
Okay.
Once that mirror flips up, now we have what's called the shutter, which basically is a timed device which allows a certain amount of light into the onto the sensor.
Okay. And as now, what happens with a timed device, explain. I'm not exactly sure. So what physically is it when you say a timed device? Just a piece of plastic,
basically it's basically got a two leaf shutter, meaning it's like a sliding door.
Okay.
Essentially.
Yeah.
It's a sliding door that's open, or sorry, that starts out closed. When you trip the shutter, the first door opens up and exposes the sensor, Yeah. And then the second door closes. So it goes, it opens up one way, closes the other way.
Okay.
And then it resets for the next picture. So the shutter speed is referring to how long we leave the screen door open.
Right, to let the light in.
Exactly. So...
Sorry. Well, I was just going to interject there for a second and just say, so I guess, you know, my next question is, why would I want that shutter speed to be fast?
Okay. Well, there's a few different reasons. But let's say you're outside. You're outside on a sunny day at noon, even though I told you do not shoot pictures at noon. But you're stuck. You have no choice. So that means you have a lot of light, especially in Vancouver where the sun is always shining. You're going to have a lot of light coming in. So essentially, in order to get a proper exposure, you're going to have that shutter be very, very fast. Otherwise, you're going to have too much light.
Okay.
So This was the one part I think some people find confusing when it comes to measuring shutter speed and the correlation. When you look on your camera and you see how we define shutter speed, people get confused.
Because of the numbers. Any idea? Yeah, well, I think the number sometimes on the camera shows up as 200 or 400, and I think that's the confusing part, because we're talking about fractions of a second, right, in terms of long it's open. So 400 would mean
1/400th of a second.
Right.
Which, PS, is a very, very small amount of time.
Right.
So yeah, most of your DSLRs, I think yours probably goes up to 1/4000th of a second.
I think that's where it maxes out, is 1/4000th.
I think mine is at 1/8000th, which I use almost never.
Yeah.
But it will go all the way up to... probably to 1 second.
Yep.
It'll expose for. And then we also have a feature, you probably have a feature called B, which is bulb. And that basically, it stays open as long as you hold the button down.
Yeah, so, I don't think I have that.
Okay. It might be in the settings somewhere, but it might not. I'm not 100% sure.
So... if I had a shutter speed of, let's just say, 1/8 or 1/4 of a second, what's that going to look like when my kids are running around?
That's going to look horrible.
Right.
Yes. That's why shutter speed is so important in the exposure triangle, is that it determines... Boy, how do I describe this without sounding like a scientist? Let's keep it in real terms. You know how, let's say you're at a party and you have your little point-and-shoot camera and you have the flash turned off because someone told you the flash is terrible, so you're going to take pictures without the flash, except for every picture you take, everyone is really blurry. In order to get enough light in, the shutter has to stay open for quite a long time. Like, for instance, half a second, or even 1/8 of a second.
Yeah.
And during that time, a lot can happen.
Right.
Your kids can run a great distance.
Yeah.
You can move the camera around. A car could be driving by. And that, now we get something called motion blur. Because the sample of the photo that we're taking, the sample in time, is so great that enough motion is happening.
Now, is there an easy... number, if I want to freeze motion, what is the magic number to do that, where I'm not going to have my kid's arm moving? Let's say he's walking. How do I not have his leg blur or his arm blur when he's moving? What's the magic number?
I don't know what the magic number for kids. 1/200th? 1/500th?
Yeah, probably 1/200th, I'd say.
I tend to think of shutter speed in terms of for sports. That's when I start to really focus on shutter speed and say, okay, if I'm going to be shooting, you know, hockey or something like that, and I want to stop the action, then I'm going to start with a shutter speed of around 1/500th. Kids probably don't move as fast as hockey players.
Yeah.
Or probably they do. So you can probably get away with 1/200th to start. The thing we should mention is that up until now, your camera has basically assigned this for you.
Right.
So if you've gone out and taken some pictures on AV mode and haven't messed around with the ISO and just basically gone out, what your camera is doing is it's reading the aperture and determining how much light it needs to let in to the camera to get an exposure. It therefore calculates the time required for that, and it assigns a shutter speed to that picture.
Right.
So that's what we've done up until now. We've let the camera decide, okay, you do whatever you want. So what we're going to do moving forward, there is another mode that we can basically reverse the game on this, and we can set the shutter speed.
Right.
We can tell the camera, why don't you shoot it at 1/200th of a second, and it will then assign a different aperture to correspond. So that's something that we're going to end up getting into. The other thing
What's that called, by the way? What's it called on your camera, that mode?
Is it TV?
That's what it is on my camera. Well, you're a Canon as well, so yeah, I think it's TV on the Canon. I don't know what it is on the Nikon.
I don't know. Yeah, I have no clue. I think I've used that setting one time only.
I've used it more. I've used it because of taking pictures with the kids, and sometimes, like you say, you need a fast shutter speed, and I can't figure out with AV mode where the shutter speed doesn't correspond to what I want, so then I go the other direction and do the shutter speed first and let it assign the aperture.
Right. Yeah, I end up, I've been doing it for long enough that these numbers actually, and this is the goal, this is where we want to get to with the listeners, is that to get so comfortable to have an idea that, okay, when I change the aperture to, let's say, f4, I'm going to get a shutter speed of 1/100th.
Yeah.
Or be in the ballpark at least.
Yeah.
So that's where I am comfortably, so I know what my shutter speed's going to be before the camera sets it. But another way to do it, again, if you're shooting sports, if you're at your son's football game, definitely shoot it on the TV or the shutter priority mode, because then you're guaranteed to get a good picture to stop the action. Sometimes you don't want to stop the action. Sometimes you want to do that cool picture where you see the guy running and everything else is blurry behind him. So maybe that's a situation where you want to shoot it at 1/15th of a second and allow for some motion blur.
Yeah. But you got to really be able to hold the camera still, otherwise it looks terrible.
Well, in that situation, you're probably going to be doing like a panning move. But that's episode, let me just see here, episode 16. We've got that mapped out for, because we have it all mapped right out. No, but that's a good point. The good point about holding the camera still, and this is where the problem usually happens, is people get blurry pictures because their shutter speed is too slow or too long, a much too long shutter speed, and they basically jiggle the camera. So if you're to jiggle the camera and your shutter speed is, let's say, half of a second, you're going to get a lot more wobble than if you're shooting at 1/4000th of a second. So there basically is a quote-unquote minimum shutter speed in order to hold the camera still. Any idea what that is?
I'm going to guess 1/40th of a second.
Not bad. Not bad. It the answer there is it depends.
Oh, okay.
it actually depends. There's no right answer, but the rule, you basically want to have a shutter speed that is the same as your lens length.
Okay.
So if you're shooting with a 50 millimeter lens, you want to make sure your shutter speed is at least 1/50th. Yeah.
Okay.
Just so you know, I'm not trying to step on your points here. I think Skype is really killing us on the delay.
Yeah, no. I agree.
Sorry. I apologize to you and your family.
It's okay.
So do you start, when you go out and you're going to shoot with your kids, you know, playing around, do you have an idea of what shutter speed you want to start at?
If they're outside and I got lots of light, then probably 1/1000th of a second is probably where I start. So as long as I don't need to use my flash, I probably start at 1/1000th, because I find at that speed I can freeze them, and I usually like to freeze them outside and be able to create a blurry background. So I find that 1/1000th or anywhere up between 1/1000th and 1/2000th of a second is probably where I'm at. So, you know, since we've covered the basics behind shutter speed, and I can see that there's an obvious sort of link between shutter speed, ISO, and aperture. Could you just briefly kind of hint at what the balancing act, if you could simplify what the balancing act is between the three of those?
Actually, I think we're going to address it in more detail in a later show, but for now, I think we can all see that they all sort of work as the exposure triangle, is what they call it, because as you increase one, another one has to decrease. So they're basically all tied together, aperture, ISO, and shutter speed. So for instance, if we leave the ISO constant, let's say 400, and then we have a aperture at 4, and the camera decides that, okay, we need an 1/200th of a second is going to be enough light, you have your exposure. If you then change your mind and set the aperture to, let's say, an f8, well, it now needs, because it's a smaller hole, it needs to get more light in. So the camera is now going to leave the shutter open for that much longer. In this case, that would be around 1/50th of a second to allow the proper amount of light in.
Great. I think that's a very simple answer, and I think what our listeners are looking for. There, we did have a listener question in our inbox about what would be appropriate settings for taking a picture of a picture, and there was an example in this case, but is there a simple answer to that?
Did you see the picture?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
There's reflection.
Yeah, it's a funny question, because I don't want to promote art theft. So if you're going to use this in the Louvre, which is in Paris, by the way, I don't think you're supposed to be taking pictures of pictures, but it brought up a couple of interesting points. Actually, is one, the picture that in question basically has looks like a photograph of the sun, because the flash has gone off and reflected in the glass.
Right.
And so this comes up fairly often, where I see people in restaurants or in different places taking photographs with the glass right behind them, and they end up getting a horrible reflection. So in short, the best way to do this is to turn off the flash.
Okay.
Even if it's a point and shoot camera, you have the little lightning bolt with the cross through it, or whatever icon they've decided to give. You can turn the flash off, you can disable the flash, and do your best to handhold it. We have another question from last week, and I have it right here. This one's from Jillian. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing, Jillian. Your show made me LOL. I am old. Well, first of all, I just thought of this. Can you be old and say LOL?
I think so. I think it's part of the next generation language.
It is part of the vernacular now. I'll tell you what. I'm also old, and I knew what LOL meant. So
yeah.
The answer is yes. We agree. The hosers agree you can say LOL. Or type it, at least. I don't know if you can say it. So I am old. I was born in 1967. So I get all of your Bob and Doug jokes. Whew, she's the one. I also have a 13-year-old daughter who desperately wants a pink camera.
See? That's what we talked about. I knew it.
That's, yeah, you were telling the truth. Yeah. I actually checked them out online, and you can get a pink camera.
Yeah. 14 megapixels, $148.
That's tough to beat.
Yeah.
What is the advantage of a pink camera?
More bling. Looks good in your purse. More bling.
Good point.
Yeah.
So do we talk about this? Do you accessorize? Like, do you have to have multiple cameras to go with multiple shoes?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Pink goes with everything.
Good point. Anyways, her daughter wants the pink camera. But she goes on. She says, forget the important photo questions. Why don't you start your show with good day, eh?
I think we tried to today. You know, it didn't go so well, but I tried and it didn't sound right.
Didn't. Well,
I would think, how's it going, eh?
How's it going, eh? All right, good day, eh? I remember good day, eh? I far be it for me to be an expert on that, but that sounds a little more East Coast, yeah, to me.
Definitely.
And
Newfie.
I think out in eyes to buy is what you're thinking of there. But I think next week I'll give it the honest try.
Okay.
And do you remember the Bob and Doug?
There's a chant. Yeah, call? I don't really want to do it, but you can do it.
I don't know.
I don't think I can hit the high note.
Yeah, keeping in mind it is 8 o'clock in the morning here in Germany. So I'll tell you what, we'll see if we can. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to crowdsource this, and I'm going to get first of all any of our listeners. This will be embarrassing next week when none of them do it. Anyone wants to record their own voice doing this, we'll play it. We'll play the top three or zero, probably. But if we get multiple, we'll play it a minute at the most. We'll play the top three entries on next week's show.
All right, I'll get Sarah and Jack to do it. So there's two right there.
And for the record, if you don't know what it is, we're talking about the
yeah,
something like that,
yeah,
right?
Much higher pitch. Yeah.
Yeah. Much higher. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give you a line reading. I want you guys to make it your own. So we'll try that. Jillian, we'll give that a try. Thanks for listening and thanks for sending in your question. Just at the end of the show here, the tip of the week. I have one for this week that anyone can use. You don't need a digital SLR. You can do it with your point and shoot. When you're taking pictures of people, better to get in close with a wide angle lens or stand back and zoom in. Adam, what do you think?
Get in close with a wide angle lens.
Okay.
is that the right answer? Is that what the answer you're looking for?
Sorry. That's not the answer I'm looking
for.
That's what. Great example of what not to do. So you're better to stand back and zoom in. What it does is it compresses the features of your face a little bit. It compresses the background. Go to my blog. If you go to twohosers.com and click on the link to the blog, I will put up a post that I made a couple years ago. And there's actually a picture. Well, the once you get past the hilarious joke of comparing me to Brad Pitt, at the bottom, there are two samples, and the samples look wildly different. I promise you, there's no camera tricks, no Photoshop, nothing. The only difference is my wife took a picture of me in close on wide angle, then backed up in the room and zoomed in and took the same picture. That's all the only settings that were changed. And it's wildly different. So you'll see that my head in the picture is about the same apparent size, but the frame around it is wildly different. And in one of them I look terrible, and one of them I look really terrible. So.
Awesome.
There you go. So the tip of the week is stand back and zoom in. Now, there's a lot of other stuff that's going to come up with that, a lot of other complications, but for now, just give it a try.
Great. Great tip. So you can find Al at his blog, alanatridge.com and .de, is that right, in Germany?
Well, you can find me, my German listeners can find my page at alanatridge.de.
And you can find my work on my wife's blog, schwartzchronicles.com. So check that out as well. So I guess until next time, I'm Adam.
And I'm Alan.
The2hosers.com Photoshop. And Al, please say that tagline, because
The2hosers Photoshop? Wait, what?
Did I say Photoshop?
Yeah, we're going to get sued by Adobe. We are not sponsored or affiliated at all with the Adobe company. So until next week, send us your listener questions and get out there and make some better photos.